Well, good morning, guys. Welcome. We are excited that you're here with us this morning. My name is Jeremy. I'm one of the ministers on staff here. I trust that you've had enough time for the tryptophan from your turkey to wear off. So nobody's going to fall asleep this morning unless you had a sandwich last night, and then we might be in trouble. But we're glad you're here. We hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving. And just going to talk to y'all a little bit this morning. Did y'all know that we're getting a minor league baseball team here in Sugar Land? I am pumped. The Sugar Land Skeeters are coming to Sugar Land. Now, I love going to Astros games. That's been a lot of fun. I've lived in Houston for 13 years, and that's been really my only major league baseball experience, going to the stadium, enjoying those games. Lately, it's been a little less exciting than it could have been in years past, but that's been fun. But for me, minor league baseball is just one of the greatest sports known to man. I grew up watching minor league baseball in Durham, North Carolina, the Durham Bulls. Anybody seen the movie Bull Durham? Shame on you people. No, that film was it was filmed in my hometown. I actually had a chance to be in the stands during the filming of that movie, but they were filming that part on Halloween, and I wanted to go trick-or-treating. So at 10 years old, I said, I want some candy. I don't care about being in a movie. There went my chance for fame, I guess. But I remember growing up, I've probably been to hundreds of Durham Bulls games all growing up. I remember the sights, the sounds, the smells, sitting in those sticky minor league baseball single A seats, watching these kids. Really, I thought they were giants at the time, but they were kids fresh out of high school. A few of them had probably gone to junior college, and they were just trying to make it in baseball. I would save all of my allowance to go and buy a giant soft pretzel, and this wasn't one like in the, you know, the super pretzel plexiglass stand. The guy was selling them. He had like a charcoal grill that he was cooking these things on, and he was sitting right by the entrance to the ballpark. He was selling those, and that's one of the foods that I look forward to. I also learned how to heckle at minor league baseball games. There were these two guys. They were at every single game, and I think they got there early just to kind of get ready for what was happening, but they would loudly discuss things about the umpires that I didn't, first of all, know about, and if I tried to discuss them at home, my parents wouldn't let me talk about those kind of things. I didn't really know what they were talking about, but I think the umpires probably did. The opposing team's pitcher never stood a chance against these guys. They would bring mothers and family members and grandmas into the conversation. It was a mess. That was my minor league baseball experience, and if you were a player on the opposing team and you made an error, you would literally hear about it for the rest of the game. It was fun for me. It probably wasn't fun for those guys. But every minor league player out there is just trying to make it. They're trying to get on the field, trying to get in the game, trying to play. Every player in every sport wants to be on the field, on the court. The third string quarterback is just waiting for his chance to get on the field so he can throw that 90-yard touchdown pass and show the coach what he's got. The 12th kid at the end of the bench on the basketball team, as far away from the coach as possible because the coach doesn't even want to see him, is just waiting for his chance to get in the game, make the winning shot, have the whole team lift him up, and tell them how great he is. They just want their chance. When we're out there, we just want our chance. The church's game is not baseball or basketball. The church has a different purpose, obviously. The church's game is to show people Jesus. Whether that's people inside the church or outside the church, that's our goal, that's our job. We've been doing a series here called Go Public. That's been our topic for sermons for the last couple of weeks, and it's all about taking the word, taking the gospel, taking the truth of Jesus Christ out into the streets and around the world. This morning we're going to look at that idea, but we're going to talk about taking Jesus right here inside of these walls, in this church. See, we want to show people Jesus, and the way that we as the church can do that is we serve. Now, God has a lot of options to get done the things that he wants to do. I mean, he's God after all. If he wanted to send angels down to earth to take care of business, he could do that. But for whatever reason, God has chosen not to do that. He's actually chosen to use us, his followers, his people, his church, to do his work. And if you look through the New Testament, you see that God's primary method of accomplishing his work here on earth is the local church. The local church, that's us sitting in this room, fellowshipping together. We are the local church, and God uses the local church to accomplish his work. See, the whole New Testament is about establishing churches. The book of Acts was about the disciples who became apostles who went out and spread the gospel and started churches. The letters that Paul wrote, which make up most of our New Testament, are all written to churches or to church leaders. Even the book of Revelation, that's about the future, Jesus takes time and talks specifically to churches. Because God has placed such a high priority on the local church, we should too. If it's important to God, it needs to be important to us. If the church's game is service and showing people Jesus through service, then we need to serve. There's a guy named Ken Hemphill, and he said, "There are no spectators in the body of Christ. You and I are the body of Christ." And while baseball and basketball are spectator sports, football in the great state of Texas is definitely a spectator sport, church is not. It is not for us to sit on the sidelines. It is not for us to sit in the stands and watch as things unfold in front of us. Instead, we are players, and players play. We need to get in, and we need to serve. And you may be thinking, well, yeah, serving is important, and that's why we have church leaders. That's why we have elders. That's why we have deacons. That's why we have staff that we pay to do the work, so we don't have to. Ephesians 4, Paul says this, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Yes, there are leaders. Yes, there are ministers. Yes, there are elders and deacons. Their job is to equip the body to serve. So as a local church, we serve. Having a preacher stand up in front of you and telling you you need to serve is probably nothing new, and it's probably also not motivating enough if you're choosing right now not to serve to make you say, "Oh, well, the preacher said I need to serve, so we'll go serve." So what can motivate us to serve? What can push us past the idea of sitting on the sidelines and watching and really help us to get in the game? So this morning, we're going to look at some motivations from the Bible. Three specific motivations that the Bible tells us should motivate us to serve in the local church right here at First Colony. So if you'll just join with me for a second, let's look at a couple of these motivations. Our first motivation this morning is the motivation of example. I love to watch my kids mimic my wife and I. We've got two kids. I love them very much, and it's really fun to watch them copy what they see. And we can see this especially with our 5-year-old Lexi right now. Lexi is kind of a mess, and if you know her, you know she's pretty funny. If Dana and I are in the kitchen cooking or doing stuff around the house, it's not long before Lexi shows up. She's got her hair done. She did it herself. And she's probably wearing a black and pink apron that says Diva in Training on the front. And she's ready to jump in and help. She pulls up her little stool next to the counter where we're working, and she watches and she says, "Let me help. Let me do something." And that's just a lot of fun. Children are obviously motivated by the examples that they see. The funny thing is, this doesn't really change when we get older. As adults, we're motivated by examples too. I know a guy in Louisiana, his name is Terry. And Terry is an extremely successful amateur golfer. He wins tournaments all the time. He wins longest drive contests and things like that. And I was staying at Terry's house one time, and I said, "Terry, you got to tell me how you do this. Did your dad play golf? Are you, you know, taking lessons? Are you learning from pros? What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I saw Tiger Woods on TV, and he could hit the ball pretty good. So I went and found some videos of Tiger Woods hitting the ball, and I just said, well, I'll do what he does." And so he just followed the example. Now, he didn't take lessons. He didn't do anything exciting. He watched videos of Tiger Woods swinging the club. And that's how he learned to play golf. Those examples are huge in our lives, and Jesus is our example when it comes to service. Jesus even said that he came to earth not to be served, but to serve. And we see this exemplified in John 13 as Jesus is having his last meal with his disciples. Verses 3 to 5 say, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was around him." Later on in the chapter, Jesus says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Now, foot washing is not something that we do a whole lot of outside of doing it ourselves in the shower, hopefully. But the idea here is that Jesus is taking on the role of the lowest of the low servants. Jesus is saying, "I'm going to show you what to do," and that's not necessarily that you should desire to lead, it's not necessarily that you should desire to be in charge, but you should serve. You should be willing to take the lowest position. Now, it's interesting in this verse, we see Jesus' motivation at the beginning. It says, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power." That's a reference to Jesus' authority, because Jesus is God. His motivation for serving was the authority that should have him on a throne with other people doing everything for him. But Jesus said, "Because I, your leader, your master, have served, then you also should serve." He's our example. You know, we also have people around us whose example we can follow. If you want to see an example of service, just look around. They're all around this church. There are people volunteering all over the place. You passed them as you were walking in. You were seated by them. As you took communion, they served you by serving you communion. We've got lots of great servants here. And so if you need an example of service, just look around. Specifically, I want to highlight some people who I didn't warn I was going to highlight this morning. But Glenn and Jennifer Anthony, I think, are fantastic examples of service. And it's having an interesting effect on their family. Glenn works with our welcome ministry. Jennifer heads up our bookstore ministry. And that's absolutely great. But if you walked through these doors over here, the main entrance to the church this morning, you very likely had the door held for you. And it wasn't an adult holding the door telling you good morning. It was probably a little guy by the name of Alec, Glenn and Jennifer's son. And every Sunday morning, he's out there holding the door for people, serving because he's seen his parents do the same thing. Parents, if you want to see your children serve, be the example that they need. Example is a powerful motivator for us to get in the game of service. The next motivation we're going to look at this morning is the example of purpose. Purpose is very important to us as people. We want to know why. We want to know what the result is going to be. We want to know if it's going to be worth it. We want to know our purpose and why we're here, why we're doing this. Ephesians 2, Paul gives us a look at our purpose as those who have been saved by Jesus Christ. He says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We've not been saved by good works. We've been saved by Jesus dying on the cross and placing our faith in him. But we've been saved to good works. This passage even tells us that we were created to do good works. We were created to serve. And that God even planned that service. He planned those good works out long, long ago. It's not an accident that you're here in this church. It's not an accident that God has saved you. You're here for a reason. You've been saved for a purpose. You've been saved to serve. I'm guessing most of us have seen the movie The Blind Side. It tells the story of Michael Orr. Michael Orr is an offensive tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. He had a tough life growing up. Didn't have a lot of opportunities. Just had a really, really tough childhood. As he got into high school, he got adopted by the Tuohy family, and he started playing football. And Michael Orr is a gigantic human being, and gigantic human beings play linemen. And Michael Orr was playing offensive line, and he was really struggling because the offensive line's job is to protect the quarterback. But he didn't really want to hurt anybody, and he felt like if he was blocking these guys, he was going to hurt them. And he struggled until a very, very pivotal moment in the film when Sandra Bullock's character walks out on the field during the middle of practice and says, "Michael, you need to think of the quarterback like he's me or your family, and you need to think of the defense who's trying to get him as people who are trying to hurt him." The very next play, Michael levels the defensive rusher, and he's now playing professional football as one of the greatest linemen in the game right now. But he had to find his purpose. He wanted to protect, and specifically to protect his family. That purpose was a great motivator for him, and purpose for us is a powerful motivator for us to get in the game. When we realize that we have been saved, that we have been even created for the purpose of service, for the purpose of showing people Jesus through our lives, that can motivate us to get in the game. The last motivation I want to look at this morning is gifts. And if you're like me, you like getting gifts. Now, Christmas season is upon us, and they say it's better to give than to receive whatever. I like to get gifts. Any of y'all that want to get me a gift, fantastic. I'll give you a list. When we give our lives to Jesus, we know we get the gift of going to heaven. We know we get to spend forever with God. But we also get something special that the Bible calls spiritual gifts. And that's the result of God's Holy Spirit coming and living within us. And he actually gives us what I like to think of as supernatural abilities. Now, these aren't like laser vision or the ability to fly or leap over tall buildings in a single bound or anything like that. These are gifts that we've been given to serve. Peter talks about these gifts in 1 Peter 4. He says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. These gifts that we're given are for the purpose of service. The early church had a hard time with this, and you actually see a lot of passages, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul is trying to kind of set them straight and say, no, these gifts aren't for you to look good. They're gifts for you to serve, for you to be a part of the body. We often think of athletes as gifted individuals, and it sometimes breaks our heart to see these gifted individuals mess up. Sometimes they get involved with drugs, sometimes they get involved in crime. Whatever it is, it can be very heartbreaking. To go back to my childhood again, I grew up in North Carolina, like I said, and Durham Bulls isn't the only game in town. College basketball in the Carolinas is kind of equivalent to football here in Texas. And specifically, ACC college basketball. Go Duke. But growing up in North Carolina, there was a basketball player who amazed everybody. I'm not talking about Michael Jordan. I'm talking about Lynn Bias. Some of you who are sports fans and have been around long enough to remember the early 80s have probably heard of Lynn Bias. Lynn Bias is considered to be one of the greatest basketball players ever who didn't play in the NBA. He didn't play in the NBA because 2 days after he was drafted by the Celtics, he died due to a cocaine overdose. 2 days after being drafted to the NBA. I was 9 years old at the time, but I remember the news stories, I remember people talking, and the phrases that kept coming up over and over and over again were, he was so gifted, such a waste. And it's really sad, it's really tragic to think about a young man like that who had the world in front of him. Opportunities that he probably would have never dreamed of before. Wasted. But it's no less tragic when one of God's children, who's been supernaturally gifted by God, chooses not to use that gift to serve others. When we make excuses that we're too busy, or we've got too much going on, or I don't have time, or I don't know how. That's a tragedy too. We've been gifted by God to serve. Let's use those gifts to get in the game, to get involved in church and serve. Maybe you're not sure how you've been gifted by God. Sometimes it can be hard to tell. I want to encourage you, the easiest way to figure it out is not to take a test, even though there are tests that can help you figure it out. The easiest way for you to figure out how God has gifted you for service is to go serve. Find a place and volunteer. You'll figure out really soon if you're gifted or not in that area. If you love it, if it gives you life, if it's like the greatest thing ever, then it's very likely that you've been gifted in that area. But if you dread it, probably need to find something else. So don't go out and sign a 5-year deal to volunteer in the nursery. Go try it out for a little while. See what works for you. Go serve donuts to the teenagers. Go out in the parking lot and help us say hello to guests. Try it out and see how that works for you. If that doesn't work, say thanks but no thanks and go find something else. I can tell you, those of us who head up different ministries around church would love for you to walk up to us and say, hey, I don't know what I'm good at necessarily. I don't know what I'm gifted in, but I want to serve. We would love to help you figure out what God wants you to do around here. We know we ought to serve We know that that there are lots of opportunities to serve. And we have the motivations to serve. So let's get in the game and serve. Right now, I'd like to ask you to pull out your order of worship, open it up, fill out the communication card. That's for guests and for members. We want to know that you're here. We want to know what's going on in your life. If you have a prayer request, feel free to write that down. And we would love to pray for you about that. The staff and the elders pray over those things, and we take those very, very seriously. We also take very seriously that you're here with us this morning, so we want to know about that. Right now, I'm going to ask our prayer leaders to come up front, and we're going to enter into a time of focused prayer. If you've got a need that you need to pray about, you can come up, pray with these leaders, and they would be happy to do that with you.